Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, and welcome to Series 2 of 101 Part-Time Jobs, the podcast where I, Giles Bidder, speak to musicians, comedians, and artists of all trades about their part-time jobs before and maybe during what they do full-time. We didn't mean to have a gap between Series 1 and Series 2, but life got in the way and there we were, 6 months after Series 1, we're here with Series 2. Really excited to bring Frances from Hopalong on this first episode. Her lyrics have always been amazing and her style is pretty unique, so I was really excited about this one. I got a chance to speak to her before their show with the Decemberists here in London a few months ago, and they've just released their album Bark Your Head Off Dog last year on Saddle Creek, which is one of the albums of the year for me. She's got a few good stories about what she did before playing in the band and what she still does. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and here we kick off Season 2. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and whatever you do to let more people know about this. Thanks for listening again. Now here's Frances from Hopalong on 101 Part-Time Jobs. Signature Brew is the official beer of 101 Part-Time Jobs.
I was a house painter from age, I'd say 15 or 14, up until it was the last decade, on and off. Like, that's when I learned, yeah, sort of apprenticing.
Yeah.
You know?
So it was a kind of active decision.
My mom was just like, you gotta get out there and work. Like, yeah, it was good for me.
Yeah.
It was my aunt's business, so it was almost all women. I mean, cool. It still is almost all women, house, yeah, painters.
It's an active job. You know, most people are doing the paper round or...
Yeah, like I said, it was really, I mean, it was good for me to do something kind of, you know, not too rigorous. I mean, it's not,
yeah,
crazy the way that a lot of construction is. I mean, you know, like, I remember seeing, like, roofers scrambling around on the skeletons of houses and just thinking, God, I don't think I could, I certainly couldn't do that.
So that was your first job?
Yeah, that was my first, and my only, you know, I would just do that in the summers.
Were you at school?
Yeah, I mean, I started, you know, early high school, late junior high, I guess, apprenticing.
Good money?
To me, yeah. My mom had me put it all in my savings, which was good.
Smart move.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't, you know, until I had a car, I wasn't really... I mean, I'd go to the mall and buy garbage, but...
So is this in Philly? Is this a suburb or...?
This is like an hour... ish northwest of Philly, kind, cool, of like what we'd refer to as the rural suburbs.
Yeah, sure. What was it called? What was the town or village?
The town that I'm originally from, well, I mean, I'm originally from New Jersey, I guess, but the town we moved to later, it's called Perkiomenville. Has something to do with cranberries or something.
No, it's a great name. The thing that strikes me about painting houses, perhaps, is the fact you, I mean, like writing a song, you are creating something that lasts forever. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's a bit out there, but you know, that brush is, you know, that brush of paint, that first layer of paint that you've done is going to last forever. That's going to be somebody's home.
You know, it's funny, some of the places we've worked, you know, painted were like $1 million homes. Homes that I'm sure I'll never live in, you know, where they have a ceramic shower for the dog. Really nice places. You know, little home theaters and things like that. And these enormous homes for like two people maybe, and that was interesting. And you know, you'd be painting a room actual colors, which was always exciting. Like, we'd fight. I remember my cousin and I kind of like doing a quick toss up, or, well, I mean, she had seniority over me, so she got to paint that one room eggplant. I was very excited about that color, but she got that room.
Yeah.
Generally though, and since I only work in the summers, the jobs I usually got were painting the dorms at this one particular college.
Okay.
And it was a college that had a big, you know, football. So we would sometimes paint the, you know, we painted the dorms every summer.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, the football dorms.
Yeah.
So they were just disgusting. One room I remember, well, one room, you know, it was July. So they'd been, the students had been out for a couple months, and there was this carpet, you know, in some of these rooms, and it was very hot, you know, it would be in the 90s in Fahrenheit in some days, on some days, and just no AC in these buildings, in these old dorm rooms. And one room, there was, you know, this like purple gray carpeting, and on that carpet was just this pool of still wet vomit. And I thought, like, when did that happen? It should be dry by now, but maybe, I guess it's been pretty hot. Ugh, God, that was
gross.
And in another room, somebody had taken, you know, a light fixture, like one of those clouded bowl light fixtures. They'd unscrewed it, taken it down, peed in it, and then screwed it back in.
How do you do that? With skill?
I mean, I guess, I wonder if they got a shock.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they left. I guess the light was off.
Wow.
I would hope.
That's not a very nice prank.
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Rich football kids, man. We got nothing else to do but piss in light fixtures. And that was tough because, you know, painting these rooms white every single summer and knowing that they were going to be utterly trashed was sort of a strange... because I'm not really a speedy person by any means. I can't really think of anything that I do very quickly. And with house painting, I was sort of problematic in that I would be very precious in times where expedience is yeah. more important.
Did that come from like an OCD-ish place? Or?
Probably. I'm sure some of that. I've yeah. got a little of that going on. Yeah. But, you know, in the beautiful, in the million-dollar homes that have like all this lattice work and finer things, you know, I love doing that kind of work. And I love when you're house painting, I find that my mind can wander in ways that it doesn't normally because I'm doing something that's so physically absorbing that I know so well that I think differently. And it's almost meditative.
Yeah. Painted shirt, anything to do with it?
Oh, I was thinking about, you know, there were some old places that we painted where, you know, they painted the windows so many times that it just was, yeah, painted shut. I was just thinking of that. It's just something that is supposed to be able to open, sealed.
Cool. I didn't think of it like that. That's very cool.
That's a little more literal.
Yeah.
You can think of it any way they like.
Well, absolutely. Once it's out there, it's not.
It's someone else's, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Did you, have you got any funny stories from the sort of the people at these big houses? Did you meet any of them?
God, I wish I could remember. There was one lady just walking around her house, like, just, can I swear?
Yeah,
of course. Hold on, check. She was just walking around the house, like, talking shit on these, like, other kids in her kid's school, and, you know, walking around with a glass of wine, just with nothing to do. I mean, that's the thing, like, you can make so much money that there's just nothing to do but, like, go play tennis and talk shit. I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly generalizing.
No, I mean, I've met people like that.
I mean, it's funny what people will spend their money on. But who knows, you know, if I had a lot of it, God knows what I would do, so.
Yeah. What would you do? I know you just said you don't know, but what's one thing?
I'd like to think that I'd travel and I'd take my parents out more.
Nice.
You know, I'd like to think that
I met your mum once.
Oh, goodness.
At a show in Philly.
Oh, great.
She was funny.
She loves the young people. Loves chatting it up.
She was chatting.
Yeah.
She was funny. So you were a dog walker as well. Is that right?
I was, yes. That was for a summer. How long was that? It was not very long. I did not last in that job. My boss was younger than me. It was her business. I guess I was 23. She was like 21. And she had taken these dogs on that must have been rejected from other dog walking agencies because a lot of them, some of them were wonderful. I mean, there was a pair of Burmese mountain dogs that were huge. I wish I could remember their names. Very regal looking, and I loved walking them. Rose and something. Oh, anyway, it doesn't matter. But there were other dogs that I would walk that were just maniacs, you know, dogs that were crated up all day by their owners who were often students and just gone all the time. And so I'd get these anxious, crazed dogs. Not being trained in dogs, like not having received an education in dog training. So I would find myself in these moments of crisis and just having no idea what to do and being fortunate enough that a passerby would help me out with the crazed dog. It just, and she would, you know, she would pull off and pay me. Like, she owed me money by the end. I didn't care anymore. I just quit. Like,
oh, that's
the
worst.
I left the keys on her desk. I'm just like, goodbye.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than chasing people up for money.
She was the worst boss I've ever had, but she did open a door for me that was very, very important in that she got me into running. She actually got me a pair of running shoes, which was cool.
Oh, cool. Great.
And we would go running together. So that was neat. And I actually ran a marathon following year. I got super into it. I don't think I'll ever do it again. But
that's another sort of headspace-inducing thing.
Yeah, I mean, I never was an active, aside from house painting, which I remember really was not an active person growing up, and realizing around age 23 that I could run and that it could be meditative and therapeutic and enjoyable was really a game changer for me.
When did those kinds of feelings fit in with lyric writing? I mean, when did you start writing lyrics, knowingly or not, you know, whether they're poems or not? How old were you?
It's hard to say when it's starting. I mean, it's so fluid. I keep journals. I do try to write. For a while, I've wanted to make sure I wrote every single day. I'm a little more lax with myself now because there's so much crap in journals. I don't know that I need to write down who I'm meeting that day or where, you know.
Sure.
But it is a good exercise. It helps make me feel as though I'm somewhere and that I'll be able to remember. I have such a terrible memory, so writing is often for that as well, just to hang on to some of my experiences. So I keep journals, and there will be times, you know, like I'll try to make a trip to the library and just sit and immerse myself in something, because I certainly don't want to constantly write about myself, and journals are usually full of myself.
How do you find that with songwriting? And do you ever, you know, write a song and you're like, oh fuck, that's just, you know, I'm just talking about I, every sentence starts with I. Do you ever have that?
Sure, yeah, I mean, I try to be conscious of overuse of certain words. I is definitely one of them.
Kind of want to just eradicate it completely.
Yeah, I mean, at least, you know, you want it to have gravity. Whatever, you know, a song is, I mean, I initially wanted to be a short story writer, mainly because a book just seemed impossible to me. I wanted to be a short story author, and I took some courses, you know, high school and college for creative writing. But a song, you know, you have such a limited space. I mean, unless you want to write, you know, like something like Dylan-esque song, you have this limited space to say as much as you can, or as much as you feel you need to.
Totally.
So that's always been my greatest challenge, is editing in a way that, because I've had to, you know, take out lines that I've absolutely been like in love with, you know, and actually there was one line that I kind of dragged into Bark Your Head Off because I liked it so much, and that's the title, Bark Your Head Off, Dog.
Oh, cool.
That's an old line. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny line.
About walking down the street and seeing a dog that scares the crap out of you.
Well, no, actually, it's the song initially, and I guess I can say it now because I'm probably not going to write it, but the song initially was about someone coming home and their parents' dog barking, and that person just not being sorry for it, like, go ahead, head off. But I changed it. I took the line and applied it to a neighbor's dog. I mean, that's the thing, you know, a song, it's also been a challenge for me to remember that no one can see into my head.
Yeah.
And a song can be whatever I want it to be, whatever form it ends up as will be, I guess, accepted.
Do you mean that in the way that maybe before you sort of came to this realization, you'd think that, oh, you know, I'm just completely see-through, you feel too vulnerable?
Well, I guess in the way that I feel like there are rules that exist sometimes that really don't. I mean, rules that, you know, a song has to be about this and say this, and then I'll be halfway and I'll be like, I just can't say that. I'm not ready. You know, there's been songs that I haven't been ready to write, and so the song will just become something else.
Yeah.
And I have to let it and have that be. Yeah. Like if it's about something very simple and even embarrassing, I just have to let it be that.
You let it change it the more it changes itself into.
Yeah, I mean, some people get annoyed when people say, like, oh, I just let the characters take the story over.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's some others that that's bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
I'm writing the story, you know,
yeah,
to give up power like that. But I do think there is a point at which I have to let some of myself go, or at least step aside, in order for a story to materialize a little more clearly. Although I guess on this last record, none of the stories are particularly clear, but I let that be what it was.
Did you find working these part-time jobs, working these jobs in your early 20s, were you writing lyrics and sort of, you know, hearing melodies in your head at work?
Here and there, sure. I mean, I remember a lot of, from our record Get Disowned, there's a song called Sally 2, and half of that song came out while I was waiting to get picked up from the train. I remember I was writing in my journal and it just was hitting me at that point in time.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a nuisance, you know, like you want it to hit you when you're sitting down in the coffee shop and you're nice and relaxed with your drink and ready to go, but sometimes they hit you and it's like, I'm trying to go to sleep. Why is this hitting me? But yeah, you gotta write it down.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I mean, I made
too many mistakes of just not writing anything. Like, well, that's gone forever.
Absolutely.
Comes back.
And what do you write it down in? Your phone notes?
I sometimes I'll text myself something, but that doesn't seem to work as well. I keep... There's been times where I kept a pad by the bed. I'll have my journal. I mean, I have a journal that I write next to everything in. And sometimes I think when I'm carrying my bag down the street and I have my journal, I think, like, God, you have a year's worth of ideas in here. You should value this more. You know, what if your bag gets jacked?
Yeah, that's true.
I have to bring it with me. I gotta take it around.
Yeah. Was there a real shift of your time, ultimately, between finding, you know, trying to find these part-time jobs?
I had to quit. I mean, I worked as a dishwasher and then on the cold line at a restaurant. I had one, like, in the... I worked at two restaurants, and one was in the kitchen. And I had to quit that job because we had just finished... God, that was Get Disowned. And we certainly weren't making a living. I just had to quit because I was going to leave for a month, and that just wasn't acceptable.
Yeah.
So I quit that job. I mean, I'm used to quitting jobs.
Yeah, if you got good at it.
Yeah, I'm great at it. Yeah. We certainly weren't making, you know, I came back from that and immediately started the dog walking job, and I was still house painting, too. Like, lots of odd jobs.
Yeah.
That's another thing, too. You just have to be able to be all right with going to different, you know, have...
Totally. Hanging out with new people, meeting new people.
Yeah, I mean, a house painting job was great for me. Excellent for character building, and it's a skill that I really value. I mean, I paint my own, I painted my own downstairs a couple years back. So I'm glad I know how to do this. You know,
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to my aunt for hiring me. I mean, I could have been working at the mall, which I'm sure would have been tough.
For real. What was the job that Joe said you kind of still got?
Oh, yeah, and that is, like, you know, another favorite job of mine. I host at Johnny Brenda's.
Oh, cool. You say host.
I seat people and help bus tables and sometimes food run, but mostly just, like, cleaning up and seating people. And,
nice place.
It's a great place. The staff is absolutely wonderful, and most of them are artists or musicians or formerly those things.
Mm.
They have really fun holiday parties.
Yeah, great. I mean, I think this is one of the kind of things that made me start this podcast, is the fact that so many of my friends, and, you know, you guys included, and if you are sort of feel like you're, you know, you, the thing you do best and the thing you love most is writing songs, is that you can't physically have the job that your friends from school have.
Oh, yeah, you can't really move up the ladder anywhere. Mm. And you'll find friends of yours getting raises and more respectable positions, and maybe you're still doing the door somewhere, doing, you know. But the nice thing about Johnny Brenda's is it is, you know, everyone has a respect for everyone, no matter what their position in the restaurant, I think. I mean,
it's kind of rare that you find that. I feel like it's so ingrained in the culture of so many businesses, whether it be a, you know, a bar, a pub, or whether it be an office.
And the restaurant business is generally very competitive. You know, totally. A lot of people trying to move up the ladder.
There's this bureaucratic, you know, hierarchy thing going on.
Yeah, I really appreciate that that is not the case there. Mm. But I think, you know, you just have to be creative with your time, which is something I'm certainly still adjusting to. I've been working all day, bumming my head on the side, running around.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.